We started last week a series entitled, just a short 2-week series, speaking on the subject of stewardship. Stewardship. I usually, in the month of January, set aside 2 Sundays to be able to speak on the subject of biblical stewardship. I believe the subject of biblical stewardship to be important for God's people. I believe it to be important for our church. I believe it to be something that we had understand and know the glory of. And so last week we went to the passage in the scripture of the widow's mite there in the book of Mark. And we saw how this lady demonstrated for us what we entitled to be the spirit of stewardship. We saw this lady come to the court of the women. We know the story of that. If you know your Bible history, you know that that court had 13 boxes that were surrounding the court. You know that those boxes were made of metal. You know those boxes were in the form of a trumpet. You know that those boxes were used for benevolence and generosity and giving. And the Lord is there and he's watching people put in the treasury. And they were made of metal, so when you put coins in there, it would make a noise. And the Lord was watching everybody as they were giving their offering, and the rich would come in, and they would dump their bag, and, you know, there would be ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. You didn't know ka-ching, a Bible word. Yeah, it is a Bible word. And it would fill up in there, and people would listen for the sound of that offering plate to see how much money, and they would ooh, and they would awe. We know that out from the crowd came a certain poor widow. Nobody knows her name. The only description we know of her as far as her physical abilities was that she was poor. She probably had some kind of little job, for she had 2 mites. It was against the law, the Jewish law, to put 1 mite in the offering plate, but she was allowed to give 2. 2 mites didn't even make what we would consider a penny. But this little lady came in and she put her offering in. Jesus, beholding not what she gave, but how she gave and her motive, brought the men over and he said, "Guys, let me tell you something. I know you've been excited and encouraged about all that ka-ching that you've been hearing going on, but I'll tell you, the person who gave the most today was that little widow woman. The Bible says, for she gave a larger offering than all of the ones put together." Put together, that's phenomenal. And the disciples were standing there scratching their heads and they couldn't believe what was going on. And the Lord Jesus said, "She's not given out of her abundance, but she gave out her poverty. Yea, she even gave all her living," which means that she put in that box the only way that she had to provide for herself. In demonstration, she was putting all of her trust in the Lord. And we showed how that it was a spirit of stewardship, not by giving all of your money to the Lord. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach it's okay to give just 2 mites. But what the passage is teaching is that she had given her life first and her heart first in recognition of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for her. And the Bible says that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And so really and truthfully, the spirit of stewardship begins with the surrender of my heart. It begins with an understanding of I've been saved and I have Christ in my heart and I've been washed from my sin, but I have this understanding that all that I have belongs to God. I own nothing. I am a manager, or I am a steward of what God has entrusted to me. By the way, I can give you a bunch of scriptures this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 14. Don't turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 8. All of those scriptures would let us know that God owns everything and we own nothing. We are simply stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And how powerful a thought that is, church, is when I understand that I am not the owner of what I have, but I will give an account to the owner, boy, that sure changes my philosophy as to how I relate to what God has entrusted me with. And so it's a primary thought and a needed thought for the church. And so stewardship begins with the surrender of our heart and our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people said, if you'll surrender your heart and your life to Christ Everything that you have been entrusted with will be at His resources. I gave you the illustration about Bev and I in a marriage, and how that the wife, she says, do you need this money or whatever? And we would work together, and that's what we do when we understand the Lord and we understand who He is. Lord, do you need some of what you've entrusted me with? Yeah, Tom, there's been an earthquake in Haiti, so I want you to send some of my money there. No problem, Lord. Lord, Tom, I need some of your time to help clean the building in a little bit. No problem, Lord. Tom, I need some of this, what I entrust you with. No problem, Lord. This belongs to you, and if you want it, you can have it. And then we followed up Sunday night by saying this, that my responsibility is to steward how God leads me, but it's God's responsibility to always make sure that I have resources to steward. Sometimes the Lord says, now, Tom, I need you to give $10 here, or I need you to do something here. But Lord, our pot's getting a little bit low. Oh, Tom, don't worry about that. That's my responsibility. What I need you to do is just go ahead and write a check based on the riches of heaven, because I promise you I'm able to replace your supply. That's all about. That's all stewardship is. And listen, I'm going to preach today on what I call the obligation of obedience. And the next step after the understanding the spirit of stewardship is subject today is tithing. I announced my subject last week because I wanted to see if you'd come back or not. And praise the Lord, you're here. I was worried about that. I want to speak today on the obligation of obedience. I preach usually one message a year on tithing. It's about all my heart can handle. I've got all kinds of messages or titles for this. I've got the truth about tithing, practical giving or practical tithing, the obligation of obedience. I even thought about entitling my message today, the 800-pound gorilla of the church. Pastor, why do you preach on tithing? Because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. In my prayer today, I made my prayer and I said, Pastor, Lord, I don't even want to preach if I don't have God's power. I have no way to prove to you that I'm not dishonest. I don't really know, and I thought about this, Lord. How do I prove to the people that I am not a dishonest man? How do I prove to the people that I have the same heart that Paul did when he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. How do I preach? How do I slit the devil's throat when it comes to my integrity? I found something that I wrote a long time ago in my Bible. We have a church in our city. Downtown, you know that big church, First Baptist Fort Lauderdale. There used to be a man there that was their preacher. His name was O.S. Hawkins. Anybody ever hear Brother Hawkins preach? Fabulous preacher. I sat and heard him preach one time, a couple of times. He wrote a book, and it was a book written to preachers. And he had something in the flyleaf of this book, and I wrote it down in my Bible. Now, when you die, I ask your family for your Bible. I preach your funeral from your Bible. So if I die before you, whoever preaches my funeral in here, ask for my Bible, okay? And when you preach my funeral someday, would you please know that your preacher had this written down? I stole it from OS. Forgive me, Brother Hawkins. He listens to my, no, he doesn't listen to anything I say. My prayer today, as a preacher of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, is centered on three verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 17 says, Paul said this. He said, the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me, that by me preaching might be fully known. I'll tell you, if you're going to preach, you need the Lord to stand and strengthen you. Jeremiah with this verse, I will make, God said, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. God said, Jeremiah, I'm going to make the words you say fire, and I'm going to make the people wood, and it will go out there and it will burn it, and they'll know that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he said, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. As your preacher, I've got three things. I want the Lord to strengthen me. I want the Lord to take and put his words in my mouth, and that you would know that to be the power of God. And I ask God to give me boldness. The only way that I have to prove to you that I am not dishonest is when I stand and preach, you know the power of God. If you sense the power of God or the touch of God or the voice of God in your heart, you know that your young preacher is not dishonest to you. So I'm going to preach to you today on the obligation of obedience. I do not preach this to beat you down. I do not preach this to suppress you. I really would say this, and if you believe this, I'd like you to say amen. It is a joy and a blessed privilege to tithe to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessed privilege. I preach this to you today so you would know the thrill of obeying God. I preach this today so you know the supernatural power on your life. I preach this today so you know the hand of God and see his influence in your working today. It is an obligation of obedience. I told you last week that God does have a minimum payment due when it comes to the area of finances for God's people. I think and I believe that I can take Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12, and along with other scriptures, I think I can preach to you today with God's power on the subject of tithing. Now, as I study the Lord Jesus Christ, and as I study he, the greatest teacher that there ever will be, a lot of times he would teach using questions, and he would ask a question, and then he would direct his answer and use his answer as a teaching time. And so I want to do that today. And I've got five or six questions, and I'm going to go through them very quickly and try to teach on the subject of tithing. First off, I'd like to read to you, picking up Malachi chapter number 3 in verse number 8, and I'd like to read to you in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." Now he's talking to the nation of Israel here. "But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" They were so dishonest. They were so dishonest. God's challenging them here through God's man, and they deny it. They'd been robbing God. "Where did we rob thee?" They thought themselves to be spiritual. And God says in verse number 8, "In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." I've got that line underlined. Oh, that is so important in my life. It's important in your life. Underline it if you don't have it underlined. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he," that's the devourer, "shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." I want to take this passage and preach to you the subject of the obligation of obedience. First question I'd like to submit to you, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Pastor, what is that word tithes in verse number 10? What in the world are you talking about? Well, the Bible word tithe really is the word that means tenth. When the preacher stands up and talks about tithing, I am talking about a percentage of the entrustment that God has entrusted us with. We're talking about a percentage of our increase. Would you say that word with me? Increase. All right. I know. I don't expect to say, "And God's people said," and I don't expect you to amen me too much. I just do expect you not to frown at me, okay? Just don't do that. I will try not to involve you, but it's kind of that way. 10% of our increase. Most people think that tithing is the church trying to get your money, or the preacher trying to get your money, Most people don't comprehend what tithing is. Most people's definition of tithing is consumed in what they do by putting in the offering plate their money, and they think that just putting in the offering plate, it's tithing. My friend, that really is not the totality of tithing. That is the demonstration of tithing. The demonstration of tithing is bringing back to God 10% of all that God has entrusted me with. My increase, my income, my gift, a certain situation. Anything that has increased me, I demonstrate my tithe, and I demonstrate tithing by bringing that 10% and placing it in the offering plate. That, my friend, is the practice of bringing 10% and putting it in the increase. That's the demonstration. However, that is not tithing. And if we don't comprehend what tithing is, then we get screwed up in our understanding. I need you to hold to Malachi chapter number 3, and I would like you to go to Genesis chapter number 14. This is imperative in our definition for tithing. Genesis chapter 14, look at verse number 20. You find the man Abraham here. By the way, Abraham, who we understand that God used in the beginning of the nation of Israel, we understand that Abraham was not Jewish. I hope you understand that. He was Gentile. He was brought out of the Ur of the Chaldees. You do not pick that up until Jacob. All right, so God was using him as the founder of that, and the Jewish nation would come forth from his loins. But in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham has fought a battle with the kings. He's fought a battle to get back Lot, his nephew, and he scored a tremendous victory. And you come down into verse number 17. Of chapter 14, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him, that's Abraham, after his return from the slaughter of those people there, pronounce them any way you want to, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek. Melchizedek is huge in the Bible. He is tremendous for your understanding. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest, finish that verse please, of the Most High God. And he was the priest of who? Of the Most High God. And he, Abraham, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, Abraham is saying, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, that's Abraham, gave him, what's the word? Tithes of what? What's the last word? All. Tithes of all. If you were to go to Hebrews chapter 7, and you don't turn there, but write it down, please write Hebrews chapter 7 somewhere near Genesis 14 in your Bible. Probably right there by that verse would be a great place to do. Write down Hebrews chapter 7, verses 2 and 8. By the way, Hebrews is in the New Testament. And you will find that the priesthood of Melchizedek, Melchizedek, a man who had no beginning and will have no end, who is a priesthood forever after the order of the Most High God, which is a direct linking to the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament directs the Lord Jesus with Melchizedek of the Old Testament. All right, it's important for you to understand that. It's also important for you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. He's eternal. Abraham has this great victory in honor of God and the priest of God. By the way, the high priest of God is the Lord Jesus Christ from the book of Hebrews, meets Abraham on the way. And Abraham, in recognition of who he is, gives him tithes of all. If you were to go on and read Genesis chapter number 14, the kings, Sodom and those guys, tried to give Abraham money. And Abraham said, no, don't give me a dime. I won't take one penny from you. Why, Abraham? Why won't you take our money? Because I don't want anybody to steal
from me the glory of God. God gave me this victory. Jesus is the one who is worthy of that. And if I take your money, that praise and that glory will come to me. I am subservient to him. I love him, and he is due my worship. So Abraham paid tithes to the priest after the order of Melchizedek. It was an act of worship. My friend, tithing is not me putting 10% in the offering plate. Tithing takes place in my heart where it says, I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 7. Please go there. Hebrews chapter number 7. I will read you this verse. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 7, there in verse number 2 is the description of Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of righteousness, king of peace. He's without father, he's without mother, he's without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually, praise the Lord. Look at verse number 8. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there, where's there? In heaven, he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he does what, church? Liveth. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive today. He's alive. And tithing has been robbed from the church. It's been robbed in its definition. It's been reduced to just putting money in the offering plate. My friend, putting money in the offering plate is not tithing. That is a demonstration that in my heart, I reckon Jesus Christ to be the eternal Lord, died for me, buried for me, rose again for me, my Savior, seated on the throne, and I love him, and I adore him, and I worship him, and I honor him in my heart, and a demonstration of that is I bring the tithe back to him. That's tithing. That's worship. It's the recognition that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you don't have to say amen to tithing, but you better say amen to Jesus is Lord. It's the Lord. Brings me to my next question. Pastor, why do we demonstrate that by putting 10% in the offering plate? Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Let me show you. Every word in this verse is vital. If you look at verse number 10 and you look at the very first word is give. What's your Bible say it is? Bring, not give. Why? Bring is defining the ears, answering the question, who owns the tithe? Who owns the tithe? Now here is where stewardship and tithing come together and become a whole here. Stewardship says, okay, Jesus Christ owns everything in my life. He owns me, owns my family, owns my children, owns my home, owns my job, owns all my investments, owns everything about me Jesus Christ owns. I realize I have no ownership. He has entrusted me resources, and I'm to manage those resources, but I do not own them. Now, out of the entrustment of management of resources that God gives to you, whether it's a paycheck, whether it's a dividend, whether it's an increase of any kind, out of that kind of entrustment, God says to God's people, I want you to bring me 10%. Why would you want me to bring you 10%? Well, I want you to bring me 10% because in Leviticus, didn't you read in chapter number 27 in verse 30 that all the tithe is the Lord's? Okay, yeah. I also read where it said the tithe is holy unto the Lord. Yes, sir. Well, Lord, you own everything. Why do you want this 10%? I know I own everything, Tom, and I've entrusted you with everything. But I want you to recognize my lordship in your life. I want you to recognize who I am. And I want 10% brought back to me. No problem. You want 10%? Here's 10%. Why am I doing this? It belongs to you. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Listen, here, let me help our theology. Nobody ever gives a tithe. You cannot give something you do not own. That would be like me taking Dave's car and giving it to, Al, you don't need one, you got a nice one. Giving it to Brother Hansen. He drives a Toyota, and they're in big trouble. Okay. I can't take Dave's car and give it to him. I know I can, but for the sake of illustration, I don't own the car. I can't give it. I can't give you something that I don't own. And I'm trying to teach our church, we don't own. We are stewards. And the tithe belongs to the Lord. So the Lord said, bring it. You bring what you don't own. Bring it. You can't give it, Tom. You don't own it. You bring it. Oh, I can't give it because I don't own it. That's right. So bring it to me. Yes, sir. This belongs to you. And so I bring it to you. Why do I tithe? Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. I cannot give something I do not own. If I was to take your car and give it to him, all of my BSO in here would charge me with grand theft. Come on now, grand theft. What does God charge us with? When we take what belongs to him and give it to somebody else. Oh, well, God understands. Really? Really? Well, let's answer another question. This is great. Well, Pastor, listen, I'm just new to your church here, and I guess I would have the question, isn't tithing just supposed to be for those people in the Old Testament? We live in the New Testament. All right, well, let's look at Malachi 3. Look at verse number 10. Bring, what's the next word? Ye, bring ye. Who's the ye? The ye is the people of God. Now, Jimmy DeYoung taught us this thing with all these microphones. I forgot all of it except the horse. I'll never forget that because the horse made up out of the pastor, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, you think about that a little bit. You'll get that on the way home. Where was I going with this illustration now? Here's where I was going. Okay, the ye. Most people want to say that, well, Pastor, we don't have to tithe anymore. We're not under law, we're under grace. I agree, we're not under law, we're under grace. Well, Pastor, tithing was just for the people that were the Israelites under that Levitical system. My friend, Genesis chapter 14 is 500 years before the law. 500 years before the law. Abraham pays tithes. Jacob pays tithes. When you get to the Levitical system and you get to the law, did you know that, yes, God continued the tithe through the law? God put three tithes on the Jewish people. They had three different tithes that they were supposed to bring together. And God continued the tithe through the law. When you get to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus said you ought to still tithe. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, Paul teaches us we're to lay in store to the storehouse there and commends that tithe. Hebrews chapter 7, which is in the New Testament, still talks about tithing. Let me help you with your theology on tithing. Never forget what you're about to hear. The tithe is not tied to a people. It's tied to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tithe is the... So the philosophy that says, well, wait, I know we're in a different dispensation now, Pastor, and I know that, well, those guys over there, they were in the Levitical system, and this was Old Testament. My friend, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not tied to an age. It's not tied to a people. It's not tied to that. The tithe is tied to the Lord. And as long as Jesus Christ is alive, he is the Lord of the tithe. Amen, Pastor. I know, that was a goth amen, and I appreciate it. All right, the tithe is not tied. Well, Pastor, let me ask this question. Bring, okay, I don't own it, I gotta bring it. Ye, okay, I guess that's me. Everybody is to be tithed. All, you see that little word all? That little word all answers an important question. It answers this question. Can the tithe be divvied up? I didn't know how to spell divvied. So I got D-I-V and some things with a big D on the end of it. I don't know how you spell divvied, but it was a good word. Can it be divvied up? All right? Now, this may challenge your thinking, but don't come to me with thinking. Come to me with Bible. When you find a different word other than all, I'll talk with you about it. Okay, we said that the tithe means what? Means what percentage? So if he says, bring ye all the tithe, what percentage is he talking about? 10%. All right. Pastor, can I divvy up the tithe? What do you even mean by divvy up the tithe? Some people want to do like 5% to the church, 3% to a missionary, and 2% to a humanitarian group. 10. That's 10%. And we take great security in that we are tithers. I submit to you that the Bible says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. It does not belong to us. It is not ours to divide. For example, how would you feel, Brother Brooks, if I owed you $100 and I brought you $100 and I had to pay my debt to you and I had five 20s, I give you three 20s, which makes 60, but I also owe Barbara 20 bucks and I also owe Hugh 20 bucks. So what I did is I'm gonna take the $100 I owe you, I'm gonna give you $60. You're gonna look at that and you're gonna say, what about the rest of my money, preacher? I'm gonna say, it's a funny thing you asked me about that. You see, I also owed Barbara 20 and I also owed Brother Hugh 20. So I went ahead and just took the $100 I owed you and I gave them 20 and I gave them 20. Would you just take that? I know Brother Brooks, he's a godly, kind, compassionate man who carries a gun. And so he would say, preacher, that you didn't have the right to do that. Well, Brother Brooks, they're good people. But it wasn't your money. Brother Brooks, they're going to use it wisely. It wasn't their money. But Brother Brooks, I owed it to them. It wasn't their money. When I take the 10% that belongs to the Lord and I divvy it up, I don't care what interest you send it to or what your heart is, we do not have the right to divvy up the 10% the tithe belongs to the Lord. Okay. When you find a different verse, you come back with a different verse. Oh Lord, I'm already in trouble, but I'm going to get in deeper trouble. I'm going to say this as your pastor, and if God doesn't give power to it, then it's going to hit a bomb. Be careful not to deceive yourself. Be careful to know the difference between generosity and greed. See, we want to think ourselves generous because we're spreading that money out. Well, I give five to the church, three to them, and two to them. I'm a generous fella. No, I've committed a crime. And I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we think we're generous, but really and truthfully, we're greedy. What are you trying to say, preacher? I say we try to say, God, you get your 10% and you don't get one dime more. And so out of this 10%, I'm going to send it where I want it to go. Now, is it wrong to give to the Red Cross? No. Is it wrong to give to your neighbor who's in trouble? No. Is it wrong to give to somebody else? No. Is it wrong to give to missionaries? No. Is it wrong to give offerings? No. Is it wrong to do those things? Absolutely not. It's not wrong. But I don't take the tithe and do that. I take over and above into the extra money that I'm the steward to give. I do not take the Lord's tithe and do anything except bring it to him. See, I think some of us are deceiving ourselves. Generosity and greed. Pastor, let me ask you this question. Where do I bring the tithe? Well, look in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the what? That was speaking of the temple back then, and it's speaking of the church today. Where are you to bring your tithe? Sorry, forgive me. Where are you to bring the Lord's tithe? We are to bring the Lord's tithe to the church. I know that people disagree with that. I'm not saying people in this church. I know there's a philosophy out there that just strongly disagrees with that. I saw a preacher on television the other day say it was okay to send him your tithe. My friend, listen, if you send the Lord's tithe to somebody on television, you ought to be afraid. You ought to be afraid. I don't care how much you wave that little hanky or if you put two hands and a foot on that television. You better be afraid to take and disobey what God tells us to do. That idiot, and he is an idiot. He's a fool. He sat right there and said, well, if you don't have a church or you don't want to do that, you just send your tithe to me. You know what you ought to send him? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's where we send the tithe. We bring it to the church. They brought it to the temple. Well, Pastor, that eats at me a little bit. Okay, all right. Well, the whole Bible eats at me all the time, but I'm still responsible to submit to it. I bring the tithe to the church. Storehouse tithing. Why? Why, preacher? Why do I have to do it? Keep reading. Look at the second line. So that the preacher can drive a Mercedes. Let's go home. Amen. Let's pray. No. No. He said, that there may be meat in mine house. Okay, what's he talking about? When they brought the tithe to the temple, it was so that the temple could function. So there would be meat for the food. So there would be help for the poor. So it would take care of the priest, if you actually want to read about that. It was used for that. So it was used in benevolence. And so the Lord had designed in his plan to care for his work by his tithe. And so he said, listen, guys, bring that tithe into the storehouse so that there will be meat in mine house. Why does God want us to bring his tithe to the church? Because that's how God provides for his church. That's how we pay the light bills. That's how we pay the salaries. That's how we take care of the grounds. That's how we put the roofs on our buildings, that, so that there's meat here. So that from this place, 11700 Northwest 28th Court, Plantation, Florida, all the way at the north end of Plantation Acres, somewhere spiritually, God's putting a lighthouse that shoots up in the sky and sends forth the light of Jesus Christ, and he pays for that by his tithe. Amen. That's why. That's why. Let me say a couple other things. Yes, sometimes we take up extra offerings. We're taking one right now for the roof, this roof. But I really believe this. If everybody in our church would tithe, then that's how God would funnel his resources to care for our church. Has anybody ever had company come over and they eat all your food and don't give you a dime? I got crazy brother-in-laws. I mean crazy, insane brother-in-laws. I don't even like to be seen in public with them because they have no fear. And not Jay. Jay, where are you? Oh, back. No, this is on my... This is on my wife's side. Good, she's not in here. Is she? All right, yellow back there. Hi, baby. On my wife's side. So I used to go, before we got married, we dated 5 years. I've known Beverly since 1989. We dated 5 years. We've been married 15, going to be 16, long time. And her family would all come home at Christmas, and I'd always get invited. And her brother-in-law would always show up to her dad and mom's house with the biggest thing of toilet paper you've ever seen in your life. And he would walk in, he'd have a big thing of toilet paper under here and a big thing of paper towels under here. And he would walk in and say something like Merry Christmas or Happy Thanksgiving. Because when the family got together, there's like 40 of them and they would all get into their mom and dad's house. I used to think, why would you do that? That's so stupid. Until I got married. Until those people begin to visit my house. Until... there was no toilet paper for the king of the house. I would go to bed, I'm like, they ate all our food and they used all our toilet paper. Get these people out of this house. And then she breaks into that, well, when your mom comes, don't do that. You know how that all goes. I never realized my responsibility. So her brother would realize, hey, this is an imposement on our family. This is an imposement on my mom and dad. And so one would bring the toilet paper, one would bring the paper towel, then the rest of them would bring the food. And when they came over and they provided for themselves. They felt a responsibility. Now listen, are we a body or are we not? Are we a church or are we not? Are we brethren or are we not? Then you're coming and I'm coming as a guest to the Lord's house. And I, in reference, and it's a sorry one, but it gets your attention, we all need to bring a roll of toilet paper. What does that mean? That means that you have responsibility to bring the Lord's tithe. I have responsibility, bring the Lord's tithe. Why? So there's meat in this place. And so that Broward County knows that we love the Lord. And so that there's a witness in Haiti. And there's a witness in Africa. And the gospel is preached. It's our responsibility. It is. It is. By the way, we have plenty of toilet paper. Please don't bring the church in. Pastor?
I ain't ever coming back here again.
Oh, come on. Yes, you are, because you know God's power. Because you know God's power.
Number two, Pastor, I can't afford to do this. Number two, that's number seven. I can't afford to do this. Okay, listen. Everybody in this room tithes. Everybody in this room tithes. Some of you tithe to General Motors. Some of you tithe to Seacraft Boat. Some of you tithe to the golf course. Some of you tithe to a hobby. Some of you tithe to something. Everybody tithes. Everybody gives 10% to their God. The question is, which God do you bring 10% to? Everybody does. Come bring me your checkbook. We'll compare checkbooks. I'll show you your God if you don't tithe to the Lord. Everybody tithes. It's just, who do we tithe to? Pastor, I can't afford to do this. My friend, you can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. I'm telling you as your pastor, I'm telling you as a man who tithes all the time, I'm telling you in the honesty of my heart, I'm risking you never coming back. But I'm telling you, you can't afford not to tithe. Look what he said. He said that there be meat in mine house. Prove me. Oh, I love that. That's a different message. Prove me and try me. Of the Lord of hosts, if I will not let you fall and be humiliated because of your obedience. Does your Bible say that? Bible says, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? Blessing. My friend, tithing brings blessing. It doesn't just bring an individual blessing. It brings a pouring out of blessing. Keep reading. Verse 11, not only will I pour you out a blessing, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, I want to say two things about this. God will get his tithe. I can give you a proof text on that, and you come Wednesday night. God got his tithe out of Jericho. When the children of Israel walked around Jericho, they were not to touch any of that gold and anything about that. And the Bible said it was all to go into the treasury. It was the first place they were going to do, and the tithe belonged to the Lord, and God wanted it. Achan stole it, and Achan said, I'm going to do it. And he put it in there, and Israel committed a trespass, and they suffered defeat. What does that mean? God's going to get his tithe. I found this. If you are a true born-again believer, and you know Jesus Christ in your heart, and you don't bring the tithe, God usually gets the tithe. In my case, he gets it through Dodge. In your case, he may get it through illness. In your case, he may get it through something out of, you ever think, oh, next week, I'm going to get ahead. And you get to next week and bam, shoot. That's rebuking the devourer, my friend. He said, they'll not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. If you want a great harvest, you find protection in God by bringing the tithe, and he'll protect your fruit. Oh, it's great. It's great. I'd like to add this. Well, preacher, I tithe all the time. I'm a Christian, and I don't tithe, and I've never seen God get a tithe from me. Look me in my four eyeballs. If you call yourself a believer and you do not tithe and you do not see the hand of God in a chastening way, or you do not see the truth of this Bible in your life, then my friend, you better check whether or not you are a Bible Christian. Yes, sir. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The Bible says right there in black print on white paper that if I don't do it, the devourer will show up. So if I'm stocking piles of money and just going forward and nothing is happening to me, then you better go to Luke, the book of Luke, and read about that man who tore down his barns and put bigger barns and tore down his barns and built bigger barns. And you better look at that man. The Bible didn't call him a friend. The Bible called him a what? A fool. A fool. That's serious, but that's serious. Keep reading. He said in verse number 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a what? Delightsome land. You know what tithing does? Tithing lets people say things like this: God is so good. And all my tithers ought to say, you know what tithing does? It lets me say, Pastor, you ain't gonna believe this. We had no hope, no chance. And look what God did for us. Oh, Pastor, I gotta tell you what God did for me this week. He just met my need. He let this happen. I mean, my wife actually spent less money at the grocery store this week. I mean, great things are happening in our lives. Pastor, I can't tell you how good God has been. See, when I'm in that position, I'm able to have a good report of how good God is. I wrote this down. Tithers have testimonies. Okay, let's quit. Here's my question. Do you have a testimony of the intervention of God supernaturally in your life to bless you and to rebuke the devourer because you are a tither? If you don't, I submit to you, number one, make sure you know the Lord. Number two, begin to be reckon your obligation to the Lord and presenting that tithe. My friend, God will keep his word. He'll pour you out a blessing. He'll rebuke the devourer. He will make you a delightsome in the land. And I have never met anybody who's ever regretted bringing the tithe to the Lord Jesus. I promise you that. I have a great life. I have great joy. And I have God's blessing on my life. I think because I tithe. I want you to have that. I'm your pastor and I want you to have it. So the church can have money? No. We'll get money. God said he'd provide it. I want you to have the blessing of doing that. Okay, I kept you long. Let's go home. Let's pray.